Get hot fast, and kids can be at risk in temperatures as low as 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
They say all good things come to those who wait, but not for those who wait for that next auto breakdown that could cost you thousands of dollars. I'm Danica Patrick. In the past 5 years, auto repair costs have gone up over 36%. And if your manufacturer's warranty is expired, you'll have to cover it all. With an Endurance Auto Protection Plan, no matter what the mileage, if your car is under 20 years old, Endurance can get you covered on the engine, electrical system, transmission, drivetrain, and more. Endurance has plans for any budget. Repairs can be done by the certified mechanic of your choice. Plans cover 24/7 roadside assistance, towing, battery jumps, fuel deliveries, tire changes, and lockout services. Act now and get the benefits of our elite plan, a $2,000 value at no extra cost. With Endurance, you can never pay for covered auto repairs again. So call now for your free quote.
Call 800-282-6709. That's 800-282-6709. 800-282-6709.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A federal judge blocking the firings at the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, set to go into effect tonight.
After the Trump administration began the process of firing nearly 1,500 CFPB employees, a federal judge ordered a halt to the purge, saying the firings may be a direct violation of a court order. On Friday, a top administration official said the agency would be reduced from about 1,700 employees to only about 200 people, arguing the Consumer Protection Agency could be run more efficiently. Peter Haralambos, ABC News.
Following yesterday's deadly shooting at Florida State University, police and the FBI in Tallahassee are searching for a motive. Two people were killed, six others injured. Police say the suspect was also injured, and so far he's refusing to talk. In Puerto Rico, officials confirm nearly 99% of customers have had that power restored after an outage darkened the island earlier this week. The private power company responsible says the massive outage appears to have been caused by many factors. This is ABC News. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro giving ABC News' George Stephanopoulos a tour of his residence, parts of it scorched by the firebombing attack last weekend in Harrisburg. After he and his family celebrated Passover, the governor now calling for violence to end.
After such violent crimes, it's important for leaders to speak in a way that brings people together and doesn't divide them, no matter what the political party, says Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro to ABC News.
I think every single leader has a responsibility to speak and act with moral clarity and condemn this kind of violence.
Shapiro says since the attack, his kids have been resilient, and he says his wife Lori's been a rock.
ABC's Chuck Sievertson. Police say the suspect called with a confession that he carried out the attack because of the governor's support for the Israel and the war against Hamas in Gaza. Severe storms on the march in the Midwest today and in the South. Extreme winds whipping up the fire danger. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and in rare cases fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayla. Citing the charges against him in Wisconsin and his home state of Arkansas, Dodge County District Attorney Andrea Will on Thursday requested high cash bail for 40-year-old Gary Day, who is accused of abducting a pregnant Beaver Dam teen.
There is currently federal charges pending out of the federal office in the state of Arkansas. They are holding those charges for the Wisconsin prosecution to proceed. But I think given all of those factors that the high cash bail of $2 million is appropriate.
Court commissioner ordered the $2 million because Day represents a flight risk and a risk to the victim and the community. Day, who is the father of the teen's unborn child, is charged with child enticement and abduction for allegedly taking the 17-year-old from her home in early February. In Barron Wednesday, Governor Tony Evers said his administration remains committed to helping municipalities fund infrastructure improvements, but the federal government needs to step up as well.
Because we have a new president and we have all sorts of stuff happening in Washington, D.C., that's just going to go away and somebody else is going to pick it up. That's foolishness, frankly.
Evers also promoted clean drinking water initiatives, including calling for $300 million for removing lead water pipes. The Joint Legislative Audit Committee will hold a hearing on Wisconsin DEI audits.
The hearing will be held next Wednesday at the Capitol. Audits released last week found that state agencies and the universities of Wisconsin failed to track money spent on diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. The audit showed that the UW system spent $12.5 million related to salaries and compensation for roles with DEI functions. The reports come amid a push by President Donald Trump to end federal government support for DEI programs. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly cloudy with on and off showers and some rumbles of thunder. High temperatures today are tapping the mid-50s, and they return to the mid-50s tomorrow too. But the difference is it'll be bright with plenty of sunshine. We hang on to the pleasant weather for early Sunday before more rain rolls in the afternoon. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, 47 degrees.
Happy Good Friday. The markets were closed today, but we have a brand new, fresh conversation coming your way. We always talk about the need to know production costs, but have you really figured out the power that gives you in making marketing decisions? Yeah, that's where we're going on today's AgriTalk.
From Good Friday afternoon via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Chris Barron from AgView Solutions. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Yeah, you know, most Friday afternoons are good, but this is a good Friday afternoon.
It's extra special this Friday.
It's extra special. That's exactly right. Happy Easter, everyone. Glad that you've decided to make a little, spend a little time with us here on this Good Friday afternoon. Markets were closed today. But boy, oh boy, we had a conversation yesterday with Chris Barron from AgView Solutions that we've got coming your way this afternoon. And this one is important. This one helps you understand a lot of what can be done with information and how you can use the information to simplify things. Okay? And I'm really, really impressed with some of the perspective and the insights that Chris brought to the conversation for today. And I'm looking forward to you guys hearing it. So what do you think, Davis? Everything okay?
I love it. Everything is great. Yes.
Good. Good.
With Chris, and I was in on that. I was listening, eavesdropping. Yeah. Dude drills down. I mean, we've had him on before, and we know he drills down deep. Today, I think he went a little deeper today.
Yeah, he did.
For today's show, I guess I should say.
Yes. Yeah, there is no doubt about it. It gets you thinking about how costs add up.
Yeah.
And how those costs need to be managed at every step of the way. Mm-hmm. And, boy, if you can find the most efficient way to manage those costs at every step, you can use that information, and it's powerful. It'll help you in your marketing decisions. There's just no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. No doubt. All right, man, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about what the markets did this week.
Well, let's do. The markets were closed today, but July's soft red winter wheat futures spent most of this holiday shortened week inside of last Friday's trading range as the market consolidated around the 560 level. The dominant trend in July hard red winter wheat futures is sideways, with resistance at 580 gaining strength this week. July spring wheat futures traded on both sides of 620 for the seventh consecutive session yesterday as price action consolidated. Export sales of wheat week ended April 10, 76,500 metric tons. The Dominican Republic and Venezuela were on the list of buyers there. Yeah. On Thursday's close, July HRW wheat futures 2 1/4 lower, 570. July soft red wheat up a penny and 1/4, 562 1/4. July spring wheat futures closed at 619 1/4. That's up 2 1/4 cents on the day.
Okay, couple of things. On these export sales reports that we're getting now, there are going to be times where I'm probably going to make them out to be a bigger deal than what they really are.
Okay.
Because I see the Dominican Republic and I see Venezuela on the wheat buyer's sheet. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, what are they trying to do here? Are they trying to, build better relations with the U.S. and increasing their purchases? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
this trade war is putting a big focus on all those things.
Mm-hmm.
On all those things.
Yep.
Also, if you're out on the road spending a little bit of time today, maybe you're in the tractor cab and looking for some more information, and you did not hear yesterday's conversation with Brian Split from AgMarket.net.
Oh, man.
We talked about the charts. Yeah. We did chart analysis on corn, on soybeans, on wheat, on bean oil, on cattle. Guys, go back and listen to that. And take it in. Okay, on the week, July SRW wheat futures down 8 cents. July HRW wheat futures down 13 1/4. And July spring wheat futures down 9 1/4 cents.
Chip export sales of corn week ended April 10 totaled 1.56 million metric tons, in line with trade expectations. Check out this list here, buddy. Mexico topped the list of buyers,
good,
but we also had Japan, Spain, Colombia, and Panama on the list of buyers there. Corn demand remains stronger than many expected, and that's helping to limit selling pressure. July corn posted an inside trading range on Thursday as the market consolidated around the 490 level. July corn lower on the week, but did manage to hold on to most of last week's solid advance. December corn futures also posted an inside trading day, but ended higher on the week. On yesterday's close, May corn futures were 2 cents lower, 482 1/4. July corn down a penny and a half, 490 1/4. December corn futures, 466 on the close, down just 3/4, Chip.
Yeah, look at this bear spread action on the week. July corn was down 6 3/4. December corn was up 2.5 cents.
Soybean export sales in the report week totaled nearly 555,000 metric tons, also in line with trade expectations, 74% ahead of the four-week average.
Man.
Mexico topped that list of buyers, and the list did include a small sale to China. Soybean meal sales, 146,000 metric tons, down 18% from the four-week average. Bean oil sales, 10,300 metric tons, 64% behind the four-week average. July soybeans spent the week between 1040 and 1060. On Thursday, May beans were 2 1/4 cents lower, 1036 and a half. November beans closed at 1032 and a half. That's down 1 3/4 cents, Chip.
July beans on the week down 5 1/4. November beans up 7 cents. July bean oil was up just 50 points. And July soybean meal was down $2.80.
Cotton export sales came in at 202,000 running bales, 88% ahead of the four-week average. December cotton plunged on Monday and then clawed back those losses the rest of the week. December cotton Thursday, 53 points higher, 68.44. Chip?
Yeah, on the week, December cotton was down just 7 points.
Well, beef export sales weekend at April 10 totaled 17,500 metric tons, 78% ahead of the four-week average. Boxed beef trade this morning, yesterday morning, slowed from earlier in the week, but prices were higher to support live cattle futures. June fat cattle had the fifth consecutive low range open and high range close. June fat cattle were $2 higher at 204.07 and a half. May feeder futures were $2.45 higher at 286.85. And pork export sales of 20,500 metric tons were off by a third from the four-week average. But May futures closed higher for an eighth consecutive session on Thursday and established support at the $90 level. May lean hogs on Thursday were up 25 cents to close at 90.40. Chip.
All right, Davis. Man, oh, man. On the week, June live cattle up $7.27.5.
Yeah.
May feeder cattle up $8.15. And I'm telling you, the move in futures did not keep up with the move in cash. Did not. It was an impressive cash market this week, and even more impressive on the futures side, or as impressive on the futures side. June lean hogs on the week. There's your big gainer on the week, up 5%. Right. Which, yeah, that was up $4.70 in June lean hogs. All right. Thank you for spending some time with us on this Good Friday afternoon. Happy Easter, everybody. We got a conversation with Chris Barron, AgView Solutions, coming your way next.
Ahead of planting season, the Be Sure campaign, organized by the Growing Matters Coalition, is back again to protect pollinator habitats and safeguard biodiversity across America's farmland. Since 2019, the Be Sure campaign has helped educate millions of growers and applicators on best management practices and responsible stewardship when applying neonicotinoid products. For guidance, tips, and resources, visit growingmatters.org/besure.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor, now available at Anabu Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, providing land loans to help family farms thrive in any challenge. Terms and conditions apply. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk on this Friday afternoon. And happy Good Friday to everyone out there. I hope you're making plans for this weekend. The plans that I have right now are for a conversation with Chris Barron from AgView Solutions up in Northeast Iowa. Hey, man, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you? What do you know?
I'm doing real good. Real good. Okay, Chris, I love having these conversations with you because we're going to take a look at some of the bigger picture issues that are out there. But first of all, I want to zoom in very small and get to your farm, C&B Farms, and talk about some of the planting progress that you've had. What's the situation for you here as we get into Easter weekend?
Yeah, I think we've been blessed compared to a lot of areas. I've been pretty thankful all spring. I actually the last 10 days got to live in a strip till bar because last fall it was so dry we weren't able to get any of that stuff done. The ground was so hard, and so we only got about half of our strip tilling done. So I lived in that machine for about 10 days, and the other guys got planters rolling here in the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 days here now. Okay. We're almost done with soybeans. I think we're almost 90% done with soybeans, but in the grand scheme of things, that's only about 15% of our acres. We've really, okay, over the last few years, really ratcheted up the corn acres, and I think we're probably 35-40% done with corn already, and looks like it's going to be warming up next week, so we'll going to take whatever it brings us anyway, but I think it's, you see a lot of people rolling here, I think, in the coming week and in the areas that can.
Yep. Yeah. You know, when it comes to planting beans early, and I mean, it's all the talk anymore. Everybody's pushing the planting date. Every time I hear it, Chris, I think, you know what? I remember a time when there was a guy over there by Independence, Iowa, that was planting beans in early April, and everybody thought he was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And now look at how it's taken off, man.
Yeah, everybody learned our secret. I mean, there's more to it than just the yield, too. Hate saying this, but I will because people are figuring this out. But, you know, we've been planting beans early since about 2002 is kind of when we started testing it. And we started planting pretty much all of our beans first in about 2004. And then we started learning a few years after that to plant early variety soybeans for the geographic area. And we've watched that with a lot of our clients too, you know, the typical whatever maturity you would plant ratcheting up, you know, significantly earlier and testing and making sure that those yield close and then harvesting, you know, like in our case, we harvest in September, which is awesome because then you catch a better basis and our basis improvement versus harvesting in October is about 90 cents, about 88 cents.
Man.
And so, you know, that over time, that really adds to the bottom line too. Plus you get the soybeans out and then you can focus on corn. And so it's, you know, it's everybody's got to kind of do their own thing. But I think that's where the testing and the analysis and the data tracking is so important.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, if you're talking about 50 bushel beans on that, you're talking about an extra, yeah, $45. Just call it an extra $45 an acre just on basis. Hey, that's an incredible number.
Right. Yeah, it's huge. And you know, typically, you know, we'll plant a little bit of early corn and try to do the same thing with early corn. Corn has been a little bit more hit and miss, but soybeans, with the exception of maybe 1 or 2 years since 2006 when we really started figuring that part out, we've maybe only had about 1 year where the basis wasn't really good. And then we had 1 year where it was $3. I don't remember what year that was, but the basis was like massive until soybeans started showing up. So, right. And we were on the early side of that. So I think there's a lot of benefits. Sometimes the weather doesn't cooperate in October very good either. And beans like dry when you harvest. So,
yep. Yep. Okay. So even figuring all of that out on the performance of soybeans and the marketing of soybeans, you're down to 15% of your acres on our beans.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of neighbors that don't plant any soybeans, and which is probably smart on their part. We just happen to be in a geographic area where the basis, and there's just a, you know, we're close to Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and so there's, like, you know, they burn through about 1 million bushel a week in that city, And so there's this huge sucking sound for corn that if you get real quiet and listen, you can hear it kind of joking a bit. But, you know, it's really a demand area for corn. And so there's a lot of corn on corn anyway, but it's been interesting to watch our clients and the big shift over to corn acres for sure.
Okay. Now, did it accelerate in 2025 just because of the financials?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like in our area, I know the guys with the seed agency here, they're up on corn about 16%, I think it was. Our clients are up across the U.S. and a little bit of corn in Canada clients. We're up about 4%. On corn, but if you think about it, that's a pretty big chunk, because if the whole industry was up 4%, you know, that'd be a massive, massive shift. And so I think the weather's going to dictate a little bit of that too. I mean, some of these areas that can't get in, you know, they'll plant corn until later though. I mean, soybeans give up yield faster. I think people are figuring that out. Soybeans give up yield faster than corn does. And so I think what's happening is, people are willing to plant corn a little bit later rather than planting soybeans a little bit later, just knowing that they're giving it up. I mean, one thing to think about is if you give up 5 bushel of soybeans, you know, say you go from 50 or from 60 to 55, you give up that 5 bushel, that increases your cost of production by $1.12 a bushel.
Yeah.
Just that 5 bushel swing. And so that's where I think people really got to do the math in this crop rotation decision, depending on what your planting season is like for sure.
Right. Okay. All right. You know what? We had better make sure that everybody understands exactly what we're doing here. So far we've been talking about what's happening on the farm. You've mentioned your clients a couple of times, AgView Solutions. Give me that 30-second elevator speech on what AgView Solutions is and what you do.
Yeah. So for about 28 years now, we've worked on cost of production using a tool called Profit Manager that I developed over about 10 years with farmers helping us develop it. And so it's just a tool to analyze cost of production. It's not an accounting tool, but it is a cost of production forecasting tool, so you can forecast and make better decisions with what you're doing. And then we do a lot of transition planning, and that's probably for another AgriTalk discussion, right? But a lot of transition planning and business development, structuring and that kind of thing. A lot of changes going on in ag right now, so we've been busy.
Well, and then you take that cost of production analysis and work it into, I'm not saying that you're developing the marketing scheme for your clients, but they are using that cost of production analysis in their marketing.
Absolutely. That's where the whole component starts. Yeah. I mean, we start with a baseline of where your cost of production's at. We dial in your machinery and equipment, which is one of our strong points, is getting that equipment dialed in, a second largest line item expense, getting all that stuff dialed in and knowing where you're at, and then being able to forecast out ahead. You know, accounting is fine and great and important, but it's post-mortem. It's already happened. So if you're making decisions off your accounting, you're about a year too late. And so we're trying to look out ahead in the next year, the next 2 years. Yeah. And then that relates to the marketing. You know, you might need to be marketing 26, 27 corn at a certain point, or soybeans or wheat or whatever product you're growing, you know, is being able to look out the windshield instead of the rearview mirror.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay. So what are you finding out on cost of production for 2025?
A lot of interesting things. I mean, I think there's like just a few key items. You know, that return to management is down a little bit. Return to management is your overhead expenses, is how we define it. It's all of the costs that you don't calculate as part of quote unquote your cost production. So it's paying yourself, paying your employees, turning the lights on, you know, kids in college, whatever is pulling money out of the farm that's over and above. That number is about $100 an acre across the board for corn. And soybeans, actually, it's the same number. It's $99.37 an acre. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a big deal, but it's down about 4% from last year. So that's one of the few that's down. Land costs, land rents is down about 3%, a little bit. It's a pretty sticky number, though. A lot of people are not getting the opportunity to lower rents at all. And then interest cost is up significantly. Lines of credit, people are borrowing more than they have in the last couple of years. Either they've grown or they've got more principal and interest payments because they either bought land, bought some machinery or whatever. And the cost of production's high, or as high as it has been. It hasn't really come down much. And so, you know, the interest need, the requirement for capital is up, and so that's increased the interest. And then fertilizer's down a bit. I think people are using a little less, and equipment's down a touch too, but we can talk about that more specifically.
Yeah, okay. Excellent. That kind of gives us the baseline. We're going to dig into some of these issues a little deeper here. The land cost kind of surprises me a little bit. We got to get to that equipment cost and talk about what that means as well. We are in the middle of a conversation with Chris Barron from AgView Solutions. We're going to be right back with more AgriTalk here in a moment.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check yesterday's closes. On Thursday, July HRW wheat futures were 2.25 cents lower at 570. July soft red wheat up a penny and a quarter to 562 1/4. May corn futures were 2 cents lower yesterday at 482 1/4. December corn just closed at 466, down 0.75 cents. May soybean futures were 2.25 cents higher on Thursday at 1036.5. November beans closed at 1032.5. That's down 1.75 cents. December cotton Thursday, 53 points higher, 68.44. On your livestock, June fat cattle were $2 higher at 204.07.5. May feeder futures $2.45 higher at 286.85. And May lean hog futures were up 25 cents to 90.40. Get more, visit tryprofarmer.com.
Well, getting the kids to practice on time, remembering if it's your day to bring snacks, making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Your Auto Owner's agent serving the Durand area is Jerry Thompson Insurance, a division of Ansay and Associates.
Since 1936, Bruner's Seed has been helping farmers plan for the next corn and soybean growing season. Bruner's Seed, in partnership with Pro Harvest Seeds, offers farmers a broad range of traits and genetics from Bayer, Monsanto, Syngenta, and Enlist. Bruner's Seeds are locally grown under the same conditions as your farm, so they're suited for your farming operation. To find a dealer, visit brunerseed.com or call 715-672-5887. Start your next growing season off right with seed from Bruner's Seeds, family-owned and operated, Highway 10, Durand.
Having someone you can trust with your everything is everything. At Chippewa Valley Energy, keeping you warm, keeping you cool, keeping you safe is what they do. Since 1922, when the Eau Claire Cooperative Oil Company was founded, it was to service farmers, homeowners, and businesses with necessary energy solutions. Since then, they've grown, but still offer the same great local service that they did over 100 years ago. Become and stay one of their partners with necessary energy and reliable service for your generations, your farm, your business, your family. Chippewa Valley Energy, no more. Go to ChippewaValleyEnergy.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly cloudy with on and off showers and some rumbles of thunder. High temperatures today are tapping the mid-50s, and they return to the mid-50s tomorrow too. But the difference is it'll be bright with plenty of sunshine. We hang on to the pleasant weather for early Sunday before more rain rolls in the afternoon. Grandpa's barbecue sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, 47 degrees.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk on this Friday afternoon. We are in the middle of a conversation with Chris Barron from AgView Solutions. Okay, Chris, in the last segment, we talked a lot about what's going on in your farm, quick planting pace, getting the beans wrapped up, about one-third done with corn, and now we are moving on to cost of production. Land costs are down? How and where did that happen?
Yeah, they're down about, in our database, they're down about 3%. So a lot of that is just from some of the variable leases. We see more of that probably in our client base than what is the average. So some of that's come down a bit just because of where commodity prices are at and stuff. Okay. And then also, negotiation. I think, I've always told people, when times are good, make sure you're communicating. And when times are bad, make sure you're communicating. It's, sometimes the landowner will hide when commodity prices are low, but they show up at your doorstep when prices are high. Not to pick on landowners, but that's just nature. And so I think, it's an every year, multiple times throughout the year, keeping that relationship going. And a lot of our clients do a really good job there of communicating and being transparent, I think, is really a key thing.
Yeah.
In the right way, showing the landowner kind of where you're at, where your margins are. That yields some pretty good results. And so, that's part of it, I think. But yeah, I mean, and land rents have been super high. And so I think a lot of people did recognize that, we've seen a lot of softening of commodity prices and gave in a little bit. But 3%, in the grand scheme of things, if you're, our average land cost right now for our database is $293 an acre. And that's over 23 states and 3 Canadian provinces too. So it's kind of an average, with the range is anywhere from like 506 down to like 47 or something like that. So it's a huge range in that
huge
database.
Huge range. Yeah. You mentioned the variable leases. I always think of variable leases as a bonus lease where it's working, times are good and it's working to the advantage of the landowner. It takes some pretty tough conditions to bring rental rates down, even on a variable lease. Obviously, cash has tightened up out there in the country.
Yeah, it has. And I think, a lot of landowners recognize that. But we also see a fair amount of, interestingly enough, a fair amount of crop share, two-thirds, one-third, unique types of ways. We still have a fair amount of 50-50 even crop share in the mid, in the center part of the Corn Belt, more than what people would realize, I think. And we've also been able to, through transparency, working with clients, being able to sit down and meet with some of the landowners and convince them into a crop share agreement, mainly because, there are some tax advantages for the landowner to participate a bit too. And so when you sit down and you go through all the nuts and bolts, you can get some yield out of that relationship, but it takes a lot of work, there's no doubt.
Okay. Let's talk about that second highest line item, and that being the equipment costs out there. I don't think most people will put it that far up the list as far as their costs.
Yeah, it's always interesting to me. People talk about getting fuel booked and pay attention to energy and all that stuff when, fuel is one component of the equipment, and it's not that big of a line item. The big line item is the capital investment. So, our average client's somewhere between 3 and 4 million for the fleet investment. And so, if you took 3.5 million and put it in the stock market, would you want a rate of return?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's one of the things we sit down and we ask, okay, so how are you analyzing that investment? How are you tracking that? And so we really dial that in. We dial it in on a cost per pass basis, get that, so we know literally within pennies, and not very much time, we can dial that in terms of cost on a per pass basis. And then when we can measure that year over year, we can start to analyze and see some trends, and it helps with fleet management, helps with trading and that kind of stuff. And we've been watching inflation. One of the interesting things that we saw over the last 4 years from 2020 to 24, and I think I mentioned this last time I was on with you, but we saw a 38.5% inflationary impact on new equipment, which used equipment followed along on that to about a 60% amount. Going from 24 into 2025 as we finished and wrapped up our winter and early spring meetings, in new equipment inflation, and inflation is up 1.8% now. So it's really leveled off. Average is about 3%. And the range on in the average is usually from about 3 to 7%, with an average of about 3%. You know, some years you get that spike of you know, a 7 when you get 2 years of really high commodity prices. Then the equipment manufacturers will take advantage of that, and not just because they're taking advantage of farmers, but because of the demand for the new equipment. They can only make stuff so fast, and so it's a supply and demand issue. You know, it's easy to pick on them, but that's part of the thing too. But their inflation has gone up for steel and all the other components, electronics and all that stuff. So that's where, you know, it's not just the equipment manufacturers making bank. It's the whole complex that's created this. But, you know, getting that dialed in on a per pass basis, you know, we can, you know, for example, you know, we look at an average. I'll just pick out a planter. Our planter pass is $20.89 on the low end. On the high end, it's $47.74, and our average planter pass is for corn and soybeans is $34.68. So the nice thing about Profit Manager is we can help people kind of compartmentalize and say, am I high, am I low, am I kind of somewhere mid-range? Yeah. And it really helps, I think, with fleet management decisions and just kind of peace of mind as well.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go to that part of the conversation right now. How is all of this information that you are gathering, Chris, how is it helping you to manage what has turned into kind of a volatile period in these markets?
Yeah, great question, because, you know, the volatility is really something that we can't control, right? I mean, you know, from one day to the next, I mean, you have guests on and one day it's extremely good, next day it's extremely bad, and we got all this other stuff going on that we don't know how to navigate. But to me, it's about controlling the controllables. And so it's really, you know, I always hear people say you got to know your cost production, and that's good. I'm glad people say that, but you really need to have it dialed in accurately, because if your margin is 10 cents a bushel on a grain of any whatever it is, I don't care if it's rice or corn or whatever, or cotton or whatever, is what is that margin, you know, and getting that margin dialed in. And so controlling the controllables, though, I think is the key thing. So the biggest thing is just accuracy on your data. And I think there's a lot of people out there that are okay with just figuring out the cost production at the beginning of the year close, and then it's never right because your cost production is constantly moving. And so you need to have some kind of, it doesn't have to be Profit Manager. The universities all have a lot of good tools out there, but I think people need to really get those things dialed in just to manage that volatility, and crop rotation, being flexible at the last minute, I think is a huge thing. And then a lot of people did a good job, I think, of getting insurance purchased this year. That was, that was a huge thing. You know, hopefully people, you know, looked at the ECO and took advantage of that to a large extent. And I think, and buying up, you know, insurance is the highest value, and I don't sell insurance either, but it's the highest value rate of return thing that we buy all year long, year after year after year. I mean, you're only talking a few cents, you know, it's, you know, you might be spending 20, 25 cents a bushel. I mean, what do options cost sometimes? I mean, it's the ultimate protection, for just a few cents a bushel. It's something that I think a lot of guys got that figured out now.
Yep. And there were enough people screaming about the ECO at decision time that hopefully a lot of people did take a look at that. Okay, are you seeing any trends in the numbers that are surprising you that it kind of make you sit back and scratch your head?
Yeah, I love that question, because it leads to what one thing I was going to ask if I could say is crop protection is something that a lot of people are in the midst of doing currently. And, you know, it's always interesting to me as farmers, as one myself, so I can say this, we get all carried away with saving $3-5 an acre or something like that.
Yeah.
And I get it. You know, if you have 10,000 acres or you're a large producer, even if you're a 500 acre farmer, you look at what you write the check out for. So if you're writing the check out for 10,000 more versus I could write this for 10,000 less if I save $3 an acre or something, you're talking maybe 2 or 3 cents a bushel. Mm-hmm. And every single time when I see people skimping on crop protection, and again, I don't sell crop protection either, but as I look at that, that is one of the huge areas that I think people get carried away, and they're trying to save $4 or $5 an acre. And in the grand scheme of things, it's like a nothing. And a lot of times, you know, you save that 3 or 4 cents a bushel, it might cost you 8 or 9 cents or 10 cents a bushel. Just make sure the weeds are dead. I tell Sloan, my son, that all the time. I'm like, I don't care. I want dead weeds. I want to look at the fields along the edges, along the waterways, and I want the weeds dead. So do whatever you have to do, because there's a huge cost on the other side. You just don't write a check for that. What you see is what you write a check for. And so I think that's one of the categories that really has stuck out to me in the last 2 years in particular, where I think as farmers, because it's kind of the low-hanging fruit. It's an area where we feel like we can save some money. It's a lot easier to yell at your crop protection guy or your seed guy or your fertilizer guy than it is your landowner, you know, and to negotiate, you know, and the yield, you'll yield the bottom line better navigating the machinery than the land.
Yep. Good stuff, man. How can people learn more about AgView Solutions?
Yeah, if they just go on agviewsolutions.com, they can check out our website, and all our contact information's on the website there. And then we do a podcast called The AgView Pitch, which is on YouTube, on podcasts as well.
Yep, and it is very much worth watching and listening to. Chris, good stuff, buddy. Happy Easter.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Happy Easter to you guys, too.
Fantastic. That is Chris Barron, AgView Solutions. Davis and I will be right back.
Do you have an idea for a book, fiction, nonfiction, or a children's book? We can help you put it together and bring it to market at Dorrance Publishing. We have thousands of testimonials from people just like you that we've helped get their books sold in stores and online. We've even got a service called The Writer's Coach. It's perfect for people that have a book idea in their head and they just need someone to help them put it on paper. Dorrance Book Publishing has been helping people just like you who have a book idea, written or not, for over 100 years. Imagine being counted among the most famous authors in the world with your very own book. Call right now and let us help you turn a book idea into reality. It's easier than you think. You just need a little help. Call us now.
800-879-4098. 800-879-4098. 800-879-4098. That's 800-879-4098.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-296-1251. 800-296-1251. That's 800-296-1251.
Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, and e-auto pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Why'd I go to the doctor? My heart would race just taking my son to practice. It didn't feel right. So I got checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com. Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV, and you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing, because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday. And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal Davis Michelson here with you on your Good Friday afternoon. Chip Flory here as well. Happy Good Friday to you, Chip.
Hey, thank you. And happy Good Friday to everybody out there. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Great conversation just then with Chris Barron, AgView Solutions. I'm not sure where to start except to say, man, this guy really drills in deep on this data. You get an accurate data set going, then you really got information that you can work with and do something with.
Yeah. Oh, man. Down to the planter pass.
To the pass. Yeah.
To the pass.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wow. Talk about having an understanding of what it costs to do your job. It is so important because, and I'm sure that you've got this written down someplace too, because when he said it, it's like, oh yeah, that's a Davis. Mm-hmm. You'll want to talk about this. Control the controllables.
I did write that down. Yeah.
Right. Right. How do you know what is controllable unless you know the absolute cost? Like he said, so many people at the start of the year say, "Yeah, okay, well, it's going to be $1,000 an acre to grow corn this year. As soon as I can get there on my revenue, I need to think about making some sales." That is a. But how do you know? And does it make a difference to you if it's 910? Instead of 1,000, or what if it's actually 1,050? Because you don't really know. See, that is power of information. Mm-hmm. If you've got that information at your disposal, so that you can use it in executing a business plan, oh. That's the value of that is immeasurable.
Sometimes we speak with the likes of, I would say, Ken Ferry. He talks about the sins of planting. Mm-hmm. There are financial sins as well that can lead one to, and you might not know till the back end of the season if you're not paying attention, if you're not keeping all this stuff together as you go along, Chip.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. You know, you get to the end of the season, you think you did a pretty good job of covering your costs and maybe putting a little bit of money in the bank, and then all of a sudden, yep, everything's red. And, you know, some of the plans that you had are not going to be executed now because you've got red numbers instead of black numbers. It's a game changer. There's no question. So you got to know. You got to know. Well, did you think of his comments on land values there, Mr. Landowner Editor?
Well, I thought it was very interesting. My observations have been similar to what he's seen. Just a little bit of softness, a little bit of softness in the rents. I think they got too high. There was enough pushback that we've seen at least a little bit of a dip in rents here. And then we talk about the equipment costs and these sorts of things. I mean, we were coming into this season thinking, oh, gosh, this is going to be rough. But, you know, just like we talk about the underlying fundamental support in the corn and soybeans has been persistent and downright okay. It almost seems like these are factors that are sort of underlying support just for, I don't know, success in farming. It seems like it's coming together.
Little bit of movement in rental rates takes a lot of pressure.
Yes.
And so when we see any kind of movement to the downside on an average rental rate, just think of the immense pressure that has taken, how tight the financials have gotten out there in farm country. And I think we're starting to see that play out in some of these other issues. I mean, equipment values leveled off. Really? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Every Monday we have a conversation with Greg Peterson, and he's been talking about some softness. But Davis, if it's the right piece of equipment, filling a need out there, there's no softness in that used equipment yet.
Yeah. Not among ultra motivated buyers.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and think about, so let's go back to, you know, you're keeping your information all squared away. Everything is good. If you feel like you need to go and renegotiate your rent, you want to have that conversation. That's not a fun conversation to have. Hey, charge me less. You know, it's uncomfortable. But if you've got the numbers that you can show, that's your ammunition to say, hey, look, this is why, this is how it will work. And, you know, if you've got it all written down, it supports your case.
I like a word that you used earlier on that, persistence.
Mm-hmm.
And persistence of transparency. I'm not saying that you got to tell each and every landowner exactly how you're doing in your business as a whole. But if you've got a landowner that is renting you 500 acres, that landowner ought to know just how well or not well that 500 acres is contributing to your bottom line. If it's a positive, hey, you got to tell them it's a positive. You know what? And because of that, you come and you pick sweet corn all summer long or whatever. Or I'm taking a steer in and half of it's got your name on it.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. Something like that. But if you have persistently shown that landowner that his 500 acres is a drag on your overall operation, then you can make the case for some adjustments.
Yep. Yep. Well, and I think to sum it up, I think the message is there's a lot of risk in not paying attention. Chris drills down very, very deep to the penny, to the pass, to the bushel. That's what you got to do. That's what you got to do.
That was very well put. The cost of not paying attention.
Yes.
That kind of hits home right there. Yeah. Good stuff, man. Hey, thank you for listening today. Happy Good Friday. I hope from Davis, from me, from Big Apple Joe Stackler, we wish you a very, very blessed Easter. We will talk again on Monday morning with Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete, and Ag Economist Darren Hudson from Texas Tech.
You say you'd never give in to a meltdown. Never let kids' toys take over the house. And never fill your feed with kid photos. You'd never plan your life around their schedule. Never lick your thumb to clean their face. And you'd never let them leave the house looking like less than their best. You say you'd never put a pacifier in your mouth to clean it. Never let them stay up too late. And never let them run wild through the grocery store.
Clean up on aisle 6. And aisle 3.
So when you say you'd never let them get into a car without you there, no, it can happen. 1 in 4 hot car deaths happen when a kid gets into an unlocked car and can't get out. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Do you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt or personal loans? With credit card debt at all-time highs, Debt Relief Advocates is urgently notifying consumers of debt relief now being made available, designed to aid consumers with out-of-control credit card debt. Those who qualify and enroll for this relief program will only have to pay back a fraction of what they owe. This is not bankruptcy or a debt consolidation loan. This is a relief program that credit card companies would rather you not know about, as it ends your debt nightmare and saves you lots of money. Consumers owing at least $10,000 in credit card debt or personal loans can now take advantage of this debt relief as the cost of living skyrockets. Debt Relief Advocates has established a relief hotline for you to call to learn what debt reduction you may qualify for, so don't wait. For this free information, call the relief hotline at 800-707-6152. 800-707-6152. 800-707-6152.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. High-level talks taking place in Europe on a deal to end the Russia-Ukraine war.